Well, hi folks, welcome to Lindsay and Lane Discuss. This is our first ever podcast and we are talking about the recent Turner exhibition at Tate Britain. Let me just give a brief outline of his history to our listeners around the world. Okay, well, Turner was born in 1775 and he died in 1851. And this exhibition that we're focusing on is the last 16 years before his death. So he turned 60, I think. We're going to talk about Shade and Darkness, The Evening of the Deluge, which was painted in 1843, oil on canvas. Lindsay, what do you think of this particular painting?
Yeah, this particular painting, for me, I seem to be very much drawn into the centre. It kind of reminds me of a John Martin painting. I see what looks like some kind of grey ethereal figure that looks very far away, or it could be the tip of a crest of a wave. Not entirely sure, but that's kind of what I like about his work, is it kind of leads you to question what actually is going on. You need to look at it for a good while.
I think you're right. I mean, they're kind of like x-rays, aren't they, really? You know, you have to just really look at it and sort of see what's underneath. He doesn't necessarily paint images that are obvious. I think one has to really look at the image and, you know, sort of find mysterious things from it. There's one thing I'd like to say, though, Lindsay, is that this particular image was painted at the same time he painted the Sea Monster series, which, of course, was actually in the show itself.
That's amazing work.
Oh, it's an incredible painting. Yeah. Very, very mysterious. Very strange. Kind of surreal, isn't it?
Well, it's something that you really wouldn't expect from Turner. I mean, yes, he has kind of stormy scenes.
But
the title Sea Monsters, that's kind of really almost bordering on surrealism and fantasy art.
Exactly. You mentioned fantasy. I'd like to go into that a bit further here, if you wouldn't mind. I think Turner worked on these themes of imagined seascapes. I suppose in a way that you could describe them as dreamscapes, really.
Yes. I mean, the more you look, the more you see subconsciousness coming out, you know.
Yeah, I think the human soul is kind of connected to the waves. I mean, you could see what appears to be, you know, human beings or some kind of human figures there kind of being submerged by this giant apocalyptic wave. I mean, it's really engulfing and you kind of feel the danger, you kind of feel feel for these people. I mean, but
well, that brings me on to another
point,
because I was watching a particular documentary on Turner about how the slaves were treated, and he did a series of paintings about that, and it's quite horrific, where some of the slaves were chucked overboard if they were deemed too useless.
Was this the painting The Slave Ship?
Yes, it was.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, a very dark painting. And when I look at this Shade and Darkness painting here, you kind of got like very warm browns and warm dusky greys, earthy colours, sort of where the sea is. And on the sky, you got almost bluish hints added there, bluish cold grays.
Yeah, it's a real shame that the slave ship wasn't in this particular exhibition, but I suppose you could say that this painting, The Shade and Darkness, The Evening of the Deluge, is, I suppose, something of a similar nature. It has that kind of feeling, which is, I suppose, has that sort of gravitas to it, you know,
it does.
And that element of disaster. But it kind of gives nature a character of its own. Nature, he's kind of warning the viewer that, or warning the audience, that nature is far greater than us. And I think
not to be messed with.
Not to be messed with, that's correct.
Yet the sky offers us hope. When you look in the centre, there's a...
Absolutely.
Well, this next painting I wish to talk about is the Burning of the House of Lords and Commons, 16th of October, 1834, an oil on canvas piece. It's got very dramatic perspective, and for me that's a real source of inspiration. What do you think, Mr. Christopher Lane?
Well, I think this is certainly one of his most dramatic paintings. I'm particularly drawn into this kind of fiery glow of light at the left-hand corner of this particular painting. I mean, it kind of lures you in again. I mean, we spoke about Turner's ability to lure the audience into his works, to actually feel and experience the works for themselves. But this is a very, very dramatic painting, an incredible painting in the study of lights. What's your views on this painting, Lindsay?
Well, it's interesting because it seems like that the fire has spread, not just with the Houses of Parliament, but like it's almost touching the bridge here in the centre of the painting. It's like they didn't have proper mechanisms to put out fires quickly enough. So in a way, the fire has really kind of almost taken over half of the painting nearly, you know. So it's very, very striking in that regard.
There's another, I suppose you could, well, I mean, I think personally that you could relate it to the politics that we have today. For example, it could be...
Full of hot air they are.
Well, absolutely. But another way you could look at it is like an uprising, a literal uprising.
Yes, a revolution.
Yeah, exactly, a revolution.
Brings the theme of Guy Fawkes, doesn't it?
It does. So, I mean, it could be a visual metaphor, perhaps, for destruction. I mean, I don't advocate people going around setting fire to famous monuments, but...
I burn my toast in them. I like the colour of it.
I know, but I think a lot of people do feel a certain animosity and anger towards politicians today. And I think this particular image does conclude that emotion. An image of disaster will always resonate. I mean, that's a human being's worst nightmare, isn't it? And it is to actually be confronted with a disaster. And when you're looking at this particular painting, again, you know, you're confronted with our fears, really. And what Turner does, again, I mentioned in the previous paintings, is a genius on his part, is he engages us. He engages us in fronting our fears. We are seeing, you know, this nightmare playing right in front of us. And he's saying, right, look at this painting. Look at this painting. This is the reality. But he's painting it in such a seductive way that we're sort of transfixed by it. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, God, I mean, you got a strong contrast of colours, orangey, fiery yellows and reds, really hot, flaming colours against a dark, dreary sky. And in a way, it kind of beats down on the dreariness and the repetitive and mind-numbingness of modern society. And then you got this burning fire that just wants to blow everything up, you know, and that's it. It kind of makes me really hot-headed about the whole thing, in a way. It's something that, it really resonates with me. Let's create something dramatic here, and let's just sock these criticising people, these art critics, in the face with his work.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I agree with that sentiment. I mean, yeah, going back to Turner, I think he grew up in Covent Garden.
He had
quite a working-class upbringing. Well, he certainly had a working-class accent, and he was kind of mocked a little bit when he was at the Royal Academy. I think he got a fellowship of the Royal Academy at the age of 26, I believe, one of the youngest members. So,
And it was there a long time, wasn't it? About 20 years or something?
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember seeing a clip. There was a program on Turner, and I remember he was taking a class and he was mocked because of his accent.
Yes, he wasn't taken seriously at the time, you know.
No, he wasn't, of course not. No, but again, when you're a revolutionary, of course, at the time, you're not seen as such. But again, he showed such great strength and belief in himself that he carried on. Okay, folks, right, what we're going to do now, we're going to talk about the snowstorm in a little, well, probably a lot greater detail, actually, than we referred to.
It's quite cold, actually, when you say the word
snow. Oh, I know, it's getting that time of year, isn't it? It's getting colder, oh my gosh. Right, let's get our jumpers on now and woolly hats on. Right, okay, the snowstorm. So what was your first impression of the snowstorm, Lindsay?
Well, blurring the horizon lines is something that does it for me. I mean, when I was looking at the painting, although it's in a square frame, you kind of see like the waves joining up with the sky, so it kind of gives a circular sort of brushstroke, you feel.
Oh, totally agree. There was a sort of frenetic charge that runs through the whole of the painting, wasn't it? The waves, the way in which you painted the waves, there's a lot of movement and energy. And
absolutely,
sort of, you kind of feel the experience of that snowstorm, don't you? I mean,
I saw some other people looking at it, and I saw nauseous looks on their faces because the sea was very rocky and rough looking.
Kind of get seasick looking at the painting, didn't you? Did you get seasick looking at the painting?
I did. I felt the floor going up and down, a little like how I feel when I fly on an aeroplane, like the turbulence.
The feeling that I got when I looked at the painting is like there was a sort of apocalyptic feeling, but there was hope, which was offered by Turner. Because if you look at the kind of apparition of light, which is above the boats, Is there a ghostly presence, or is there hope? Is it a spirit that kind of sends hope to the people on the boat?
Yeah, it doesn't look like straightforward moonlight or sunlight, does it?
It doesn't.
When you look at it for longer, it kind of almost look, as you say, it looks like an ethereal.
But you do kind of get this in Turner's work, that this kind of ghostly or presence and spirits, and one doesn't really know what it is, but it's kind of present in most of his work. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, and especially when you look on the left side of the painting, there's really no clarity between the land, the sea, and the sky, you know. And in the centre there, what looks like a sort of kind of tornadic vortex, or probably would be a waterspout, as is a tornado over the sea.
And it was said also that Turner himself was lashed onto the mainsail in order to have a better view of the storm. To me, this, of course, adds to the enduring mystery of Turner. This is what people like, you know, stories such as that. You know, they want to buy into that kind of story. Is it a myth or is it a story? One never knows. But there's one thing I would like to point out before we conclude this particular analysis on the snowstorm, is how the painting was received in its time. The painting was labelled soap, suds and whitewash by critics in Turner's time. For me, a little harsh, wouldn't you say, Lindsay?
Yeah, I suppose maybe perhaps he's a misunderstood genius of his time, really.
I think so.
When you look at it, his works, it's kind of like some of them look almost abstract and others are more figurative, you know. I mean, I like the brooding tones of the greys, blues and browns, which give the painting its menacing presence.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. I think, going back to what you said, I think he was a misunderstood genius. But then, you know, he was a radical of his time. But it just goes to show that if an artist gets, you know, unnecessary criticism, don't give up.
No, exactly. And that brings me on to the next point, that he's very headstrong and he kind of said, well, to hell with the critics, I'm going to do what I believe in. And that's what I do as an artist today.
I think that's a good thing. I mean, one mustn't give up and one must always believe in their own artistic journey. You know, never give up. That's a very good point.
This one is called The Burial at Sea. First of all, I would like to comment...
Oh, when was that painted?
1842, the oil on canvas. And also, 87 by 87 centimetres, so it's a dead square.
There you go. Very precise, folks. Very precise. Okay, what were the things in this painting that kind of drew you in? What's the best things about this painting?
I kind of like the silhouetted ship, because when you actually look at it, you question in your mind whether it's one solid ship or two, because it looks like the sunset has split it into two. The ship is black, so obviously it's silhouetted by the sun. But at the same time, it kind of looks like it's broken in half, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've got this sort of backlit lights, which kind of creates this silhouetted form of the ship. But at the same time, we know it's a ship just by the outline.
Yeah.
But you've got this kind of division caused by this sort of orangey kind of
glowing
light that kind of separates it, as you said earlier. But there is one thing about this painting, which is a very small detail indeed, but if we are to look at the foreground of the painting, you see this tiny bird in silhouette.
Yes.
It's kind of landing, isn't it? And I like these kind of details in Turner.
I do. That's what draws you in, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
You think it's all a blur, but then you think, wait a minute, I can see something there, and you want to walk right over to it.
It's like every brushstroke has a purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah. In fact, behind the silhouetted boat, there's what appears to be some kind of light column. Light ship, almost something that's otherworldly, maybe something, you dare I say it, heavenly, maybe something that represents an afterlife, something over the horizon.
That's very true, and I think that
you know this thing, I mean, it's
it's very ghostly, very mysterious. It's not one through another, but it kind of suggests some kind of, it could, what do you think it is?
I mean, kind of like death and then after death, isn't it? The cremation of the burning of the funnels, or maybe the burning of the masts here.
Could it represent an afterlife, do you think?
It's possible, isn't it? It could be. Because it's really quite bright and glistening, like a very large obelisk or crystal.
And what about the colours used here? How would you describe those?
The colours are very strong. I mean, you've got the very dark, strong blacks of the ship, the silhouetted ship. You've got the very orange, fiery light, which work together quite well, just like orange flavour and chocolate. And then above that, you kind of like you've got the blue sky, which is very, very relaxed. It's a peaceful painting, but also quite a dramatic painting at the same time. He's very clever at doing contrasts. He was a man of contrasts, wasn't he?
I think he was. And would you say that this particular painting is a study in calm compared to the previous paintings? I mean, is it a calm image?
It kind of is in a way, isn't it? It's almost like a dramatic ending.
But do you think, I think you're right, going back to this tiny little detail of a bird landing, does that kind of describe the isolation of the image? You know, this boat is in isolation. When you look at the bird, as there's only one bird, it kind of reinforces the fact that this ship is totally alone on its own. You know, Do you think that is that a good point? What do you think? What's your thoughts?
That's an interesting point. I mean, when I look at that bird, I kind of see like another creature forming within it. It almost looks maybe like a baby dragon as well. Like you don't know which is the front or the rear of the bird because it's just a silhouette.
Again, this is a very good point because he makes the ordinary extraordinary. This is Turner's genius. When you look at Turner, things are indistinct, but it's reality that kind of dissolves into fantasy, which then dissolves into abstraction. It's very. This is the genius of Turner, I think. Do you agree with it?
No, definitely. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for staying with us. You are listening once again to Lindsay and Lane Discuss at Passion Palettes. And we are currently talking about Turner's exhibition at Tate Britain, in particular his later years. And we have decided now to talk about one of his images called The Sun Setting Over a Lake, which was completed in 1840, oil on canvas. Mm. So what's your thoughts on this painting, Lindsay?
Well, it's an abyss of abstraction, wouldn't you say? I mean, in a way, apart from the sun that's kind of setting on the left side of the painting, everything else is almost kind of like a blur, dare I say it. You know, if you kind of look at the whole thing, and it's very much abstract. It's almost like a really foggy day with just a speck of sunlight setting down below the orange peel sky.
That's a very good point. I think in this particular painting, I mean, when you compare it to the snowstorm, I mean, the sun gives it perspective, but there really isn't anything of a distinct nature within it. It's all kind of very airy. Again, you've got the horizon line blurred with the sky.
Yeah.
And there's an overall kind of energy running through it, this sort of light that kind of streams through the whole of the image. It kind of really lights up. But again, it's interesting with Turner because he gives us an atmosphere, but at the same time, he doesn't make things clear as to what things are. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to decipher what they are. And this is the mystery of Turner, isn't it, Lindsay? Mm.
Well, it's contrasts galore, I would say, when you compare it to the last painting. I mean, another thing I've actually, in fact, since you were speaking to me, I was just looking at the painting. It's kind of like noticed something else. It seems to be almost like a ghostly silhouette of a figure seems to be standing there. I don't know if that's an error that he made or whether that was purposeful. Who knows? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of weird when you look at it.
Yeah, it's an interesting anomaly, really.
A headless figure.
Well, it could be. It could
borderline of surrealism, maybe?
Very, very true, very true. I mean, this painting is a study of light, isn't it? And it's kind of like light playing tricks. Is Turner a magician here? He's using light in a way that kind of throws us off our natural way of looking at things. You know, we're looking at light and how light distorts things, so it kind of confuses the viewer. Would you say that?
We don't. Yeah. That's true. We don't even really know, or the confused viewer, we don't even really know where we are. The landscape could be anywhere. There's no buildings. There's not really even a surface to kind of ascertain where you're standing on. It could even be a sunset on Jupiter.
What do you think Turner's aim was in this particular image, the sun setting over a lake? What do you think his goal was? What did he want to achieve?
Yeah, he's often been called the master of light, hasn't he? And maybe on this painting, it may have perhaps marked an in-between crossroads transition in his life, in his later life, that is, going from perhaps figurative to abstract. And maybe he was undecided about that.
So to conclude on this particular image, how would you describe that? I know it's very difficult, obviously, but if you were to pare it down to a few words, how would you describe that? So.
Kind of an image of illusion, really, I would describe it as.
Okay, right.
But every time my eyes go back to the painting, it always goes to that sun. It draws me in. Mm.
I think this is the thing about Turner. He does lure us in, and we don't know why. Maybe it's the atmosphere he creates, perhaps.
Mm. It could lure us in.
Yep.
Or lure us in.
Ah, very good point. That's a good point. Well, that's a wrap on that particular discussion. We hope you enjoyed it, of course.
Yeah.
Thanks to listening to Lindsay Lane Discuss at Passion Palettes. That's where you find us and many of our thoughts as well as our work. And please join us again when we discuss another of Turner's works in this fabulous exhibition. So thank you, folks.
Excellent.
See you soon.